Thank you for listening to this sermon recorded at the Lost River Church of Christ. For more information, check out our website at lostriverchurch.org or call us at 270-843-3163. We consider it an honor to share the good news of Jesus Christ with you completely free of charge. Have a great day and enjoy the sermon.
I ask you to get your Bibles and turn with me to Colossians. Turn that down a little bit. I'm a big mouth anyway, so I probably don't even need a microphone. I've got a natural one. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 is where we're going to begin tonight. I want to tell you how much I appreciate the opportunity to speak tonight. I'm very excited about it, actually, and look forward to this. And I hope that you'll follow along with me in God's Word tonight. All the scriptures we're going to be looking at tonight are in the New Testament. They'll be very easy to find, and I'm going to give you plenty of time to turn to them. So I'd ask you to get your Bibles, follow along with me in the scriptures as we read God's Word, and we look at what God's Word says about us and how we should walk in our Christian life. I've entitled the lesson tonight, A Walk Worthy of the Lord. A Walk Worthy of the Lord. We're going to talk about how we can walk in the good way in Christ, and how, unfortunately, there is a bad way to walk. And the scriptures say some very basic things about this, but let's just face it, Christianity itself is a basic thing. And all of us need to understand how basic it is, and it's very simple to understand. That's the reason when Jesus went out and he taught God's Word, the common people heard him gladly. They understood what he was saying, and they followed him because of that. So I'd ask you to follow along with me tonight, beginning in Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks. I'm reading, by the way, from the New King James Version tonight. Colossians 1, verse 3. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Boy, there's just a whole lot in that reading there to study. And there's no way I can go through verse by verse and talk about all of that tonight, so I have to break it down a little bit for you. But it's a wonderful scripture. Because as Paul is opening this book, as he writes this letter, this important letter to those that were in Colossae, he's giving thanks to God, first of all. He's giving thanks to God that they are now Christians, that they are following God's Word. And he's praising God for this. And he talks about where they were and where they are now. And in particular, he talks about how the Word came to you. And he talks about Epaphras, his fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on their behalf, and has declared to Paul all that they have learned. And then also I want us to notice in verse 9, where he specifically says that we've been praying for you. We did not cease to pray for you, to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And the key verse to me is verse 10. He says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So I want us to talk tonight about that walk, the walk that is worthy of the Lord, that we all aspire to walk. Easier said than done, I know. But it is something that we all, as Christians, should want to do. Yet for some reason, many fail to walk that walk on a regular basis. All of us are sinners and we all fall and we all sin. I'm certainly an example of that because I have sinned many times and fallen in many ways. But I'm also an example of one that can come back from that sin and come back into the light. I love verse 12 and verse 13 because it talks about where they were and where they are. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, where? In the light. Those saints are now in the light, he says. And then he talks about where they were delivered from in verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Praise be to God that we can be delivered from the power of His darkness because of Jesus Christ and because of what He has done for us and that He died on that cross for us and that we have the hope of a home in heaven. So how is your walk going this very night? As I ask the question, as I ask myself, how is my walk going as a Christian? Are you drifting in any way? Or are you staying faithful and on the path? So I want you to make an honest evaluation of yourself tonight as a Christian. A blatantly honest evaluation. And sometimes it takes somebody to reach down and grab you by the shoulders and pull you out of the water because you're drowning in sin. And I've had that happen to me. Okay? And you had somebody reach down and you just maybe just slap you a little bit and wake you up and say, what are you doing? Where are you headed? And you have to ask yourself, where am I headed tonight? Where am I walking tonight in the way that I live? Are you walking a walk that is worthy of the Lord? I ask you to go with me now to 1 John chapter 1 as we turn over there to 1 John chapter 1. What path are you on at this time? We find here in 1 John chapter 1 that a walk is talked about, a type of walk that we should have. 1 John 1, verse 7 through 10, we'll read that. Like I said, once again, I'm going to give you plenty of time to turn to the Scripture. So I'll wait for you before I read. 1 John chapter 1, 7 through 10. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me stop right there and read verse 9 again, and I want you to listen to what it says. Because if you're in sin tonight and you're wondering where to go, I've got the solution. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. And sometimes we lie to ourselves even. And we say, oh, everything's okay. Everything's going along with my life just fine. There's no problems. And really, there's lots of problems and you're lying to yourself or you're in such deep darkness that you don't even realize it. Have you been there or are you there now? He talks about walking in the light. We're talking about the walk that's worthy of the Lord. The walk that's worthy of the Lord is a walk that's walking in the light with Jesus Christ. The Scriptures are blatant and simple in this. It says if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if you'll stay with me now and go with me now to 3 John, just a couple pages over to the third epistle of John. And it's one of those little books that maybe it's a little hard to find, but you're so close here you shouldn't have a tough time because it's only one page in most Bibles. It's only one short chapter, but it has some very important things to say. 3 John verse 3 and 4. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, once again, we're supposed to be walking the walk that's worthy of the Lord. We're supposed to be walking in the light. And therefore, here it says, we are to walk in the truth. And the writer John says he had no greater joy than to hear that those that he had taught were walking in the truth, that they were continuing on in that walk. It made him very happy to hear this. Are you walking in the truth? Are you following what God's Word says that we must do? In these scriptures that we looked at tonight so far, can you take those scriptures and make application to your life already, understanding that you must walk in such a way? Do you walk in the light? We find that we must walk in the truth. Where is it that those that don't walk in the truth walk? Turn with me back to the Gospel of John. And I want us to look at chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, Jesus Christ's own words here in verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Once again, so simple and so straightforward and so pure the word is. It tells us exactly what we must do. I am the light of the world. Follow me, Jesus says. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. There's where those that don't walk in the light are. They're automatically going to be in the dark. If you're not in the light, you're in the dark. I'll tell you what, you want an example of darkness, go to Mammoth Cave and take the tour. And I think probably on pretty much every tour they do the same thing. They'll tell everybody, okay, everybody, if you've got little children with you, hold their hand because we're going to turn the lights out. We want to show you how dark the cave is. And they cut the lights. If you've been in there when the lights are out, but what did you see when they turned the lights out? You can't see anything. You cannot see your hand in front of your face because there is no light there. There is nothing at all. It's pitch black. Let's compare that to one that's not walking in the light with Christ. Where are they in their sin? They're in the darkness of blackness, being lost. If you get caught in that cave and you're by yourself and you don't have a way out and you don't have a light, you're in big trouble. You don't know where to go. And perhaps you're like that tonight in your walk of the Christian life. Perhaps you don't know where to go tonight. Won't you listen to God's Word and heed what it says and walk in the light. Follow Jesus in what He says. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The storms and the tornadoes of this world may have overtaken you. Well, there is a way out. And there is a way to escape. In this same chapter, chapter 8, John chapter 8, let's read verse 31 through 34. Pay close attention to what it says here about escaping from sin. Once again, Jesus' words in verse 31 of John chapter 8. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, and look at the word there, the very first word of what He says is if. If. Such a small word, but such a big meaning. If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? And Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. We must abide in Him to escape the slavery of sin. We must know the truth and walk in the truth to escape from the sin. And as He says in verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you abide in My Word, you will be free." They didn't understand what He was saying. They didn't understand why He would say this to them, because they're descendants of Abraham. They thought everything was fine. Everything was going along okay. But of course, we know that wasn't the case for many in that day. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. You're in bondage to that slavery. You're in the slavery of sin, and you're lost. Where are you tonight? Are you in bondage to sin? Now let's go now to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There's another wrong walk and bad way to walk here, walking in sin, in Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verse 1 through 4, and then we'll read verse 8. Romans chapter 8, 1 through 4, and then verse 8. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." And then down in verse 8, the writer Paul here says simply, "So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God." So there's a walk that's in the world that's walking in the flesh. So that might be where you are tonight. You might be walking in the flesh. You might be walking in darkness. And I'll tell you right now, if you're not walking in the light, you are walking in darkness. Because there's no in-between place to be. It's either one or the other. Well, I'll tell you what, the good news is if you're in Christ Jesus, as He says there, you're not condemned. There's no condemnation in verse 1. "There's now therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." If you're not walking according to the flesh, you're automatically in the light and you're in the Spirit. But where are you? Are you walking in the flesh? Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to read several verses there. Ephesians chapter 5. And again, the imagery here and the example is what light does to darkness. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore He says, 'Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is.'" What does light do? Light exposes the darkness. You can see what's going on. You ever had a time you had to get under your house for something, or you had to go into darkness and you took your flashlight and you're glad you did? Maybe there were some black widows or something of that nature that the light showed you that you don't want to go there. Many of you know that I used to deliver pizzas part-time. I did that for a long, long time. And I had several instances through the years delivering those pizzas that I could tell you about. But in one in particular I still remember where there was a delivery. And it was to a particular hotel, And I came and I noticed that the hotel's lights, it was one of the old style hotels where you could see the lights on in the room. And I noticed the lights weren't on in that room before I got out of the car. And I thought, now that's strange. There's nobody in that room. I could see that the curtains were open. Nobody was occupying the room. And then I looked closer and there was a man laying on the ground underneath the car right next to the room. And he was waiting to jump me. I saw him. The light exposed him. If there had been no light there, I wouldn't have seen him and been prepared. You've got to be prepared and you've got to have the light of life that Christ Jesus gives you. And you've got to use that light to shine the way. Just like the children sing, "This little Christian light of mine. This little Christian light of mine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Brethren, there's nothing against us to let it shine. Because we're going to shine that way and that light in this world that needs it. This world, you know, it's a difficult world to live in. Wake up and look around you. Look at the changes that are going on in this world. The wise man looks around him at all times. And isn't that what Paul says here? When he says, "Awake up," he says in verse 14. Therefore, he says, "Awake, you who sleep." It's like waking somebody, shaking somebody awake. There's a fire. Get out. There's a storm coming. Be prepared. Arise from the dead. Well, what do you mean, the dead? The dead of sin. The bondage of sin. Arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. And then he gives us a warning and some advice. In verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly." Now I'll tell you what, I never was. I was a C grade math guy. If I got a C in math, I was happy. Geometry, I got a C, I was happy. I'll tell you what, I had to take one math course in college and I got a C and I was tickled. Because I was done with it then. Didn't have to take any more. And some of you all that enjoy math don't know what I'm talking about, but math was just a subject I didn't do well. I would much rather go to the history class and listen to the lecture and do an essay test than I would do a math test. But I understand circumference. That's the same, the root word for circumspect. Circumference is a circle. And that means when you're looking circumspectly, you're looking all around you. You're being prepared. You're looking all around for the traps that the devil's going to throw in your path. And you look ahead and you make a decision. You say, okay, that might happen, so here's what I'm going to do. And you make that decision ahead of time, and therefore you're ready for that. And sometimes you've got to remove the temptations or get them out of your way before you even get there because you know they're going to be there. You know it's going to happen, and you've got to be prepared. The days are evil. Wake up and look around you as the wise man does. Understand what is going on in this world. The devil wants a foothold in your heart. And he gets that foothold in your heart, and then before you know it, he's taken over as much as he can every part of it. How are you walking? Are you walking circumspectly? Are you walking looking all around you? Turn with me now to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'll tell you what, nothing will make you start looking and walking if you know there's a wild animal loose. You know? You're going to be very careful. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring kitty cat." No, there's no such thing as a roaring kitty cat. You might have one at home, maybe. But this is not a kitty cat we're talking about. It says, "Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion." Kind of like the lion at the beginning of the movie, you know, that roars? The MGM lion? That's the roaring lion, sin is like. "Seeking whom he may devour."
Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. It's no different. The experience that you're having, if you're struggling with sin and struggling with temptation, is no different than the experience and struggling with temptation that Jesus Christ Himself had. We are told that that's the fact. It's no different than your parents had. It's no different than your grandparents had. It's no different than the colonists had. It's no different than whoever had any time in this world that man has been on this earth from the beginning with Adam and Eve. It's no different. The good news is we can come here together on a Sunday night and talk about this and share with one another. And as it says here, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everybody understands. Everybody here understands. Are you struggling tonight? Where are you walking? Are you prepared for that lion that's seeking whom he may devour? Now let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Tyler read this a little bit earlier. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 5 through 7. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. Look what he talks about doing here with the things that they're having difficulty with and the sin that they're having difficulty with. He says, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in whom you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Where did they walk? They used to walk in these sins. No different than people walking them today. Look at the list there. Fornication, uncleanness. Not pretty, is it? Passion, evil desire, covetousness, idolatry. It's a bad list. Because of these things, the wrath of God's coming. Yes, the wrath of God is coming. That's the reason we had the warnings over and over throughout the Scriptures that the day will come when the sinner will be punished if they are not right with God. So where are you walking? Are you walking like they were walking, as it says in verse 7 here? In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. The good news there, he's talking about something that's in the past tense. They once walked in them. That means they've come out of that sin. They're no longer there. They've come to Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. And I'll tell you right now, if you're in that position, and if you're deep in sin, and if you're sinning over and over with whatever it is, it's time for you to wake up, brother or sister. Because you don't know what the morrow will bring in your life. Wake up. Don't do it anymore. Make a change. Put off the old man and put on the new man. I ask you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I love references throughout the New Testament of the old man and the new man. Because it makes me think about myself and where I should be if I'm not in the right place. And that happens often. And it helps me get myself right in my mind and get my thinking straight. And this is another one of those verses here where Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're a new creation if you're in Christ. All those things that you did, they're not remembered anymore. Those sins are washed away. It's over. And it's not going to be brought up again. It's not going to be brought up again.
And that's a comfort, that that's not going to happen. But are you going to be the new man today? Put off that old man and put on the new, become a new creation? Now I'd ask you to go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and let's look at another way you must walk. Another very important way. The basis of all Christianity is here in these verses of how we should walk in love. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll read verse 1 and 2. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. I just realized that's a good verse, but that's not the right one. I'm reading in Galatians. Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. But that one goes along with the lesson. Don't be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. You know what a sweet smelling aroma is. It might be that pot roast when you walk in the door, or it might be those biscuits that are in the oven, or it might be that potpourri or that candle that's been lit. It's a sweet smelling aroma. It's pleasant. It's nice. If we're walking in love, as Christ also loved us, it's a sacrifice to God, an offering to God that's acceptable, and guess what? It's a sweet smelling aroma to Him. That is what He wants us to have. Walk in love. Walk in love, brethren. Are you walking in love? He walked in love for us. Why can't we do the same for Him? I ask you once again to turn with me to 1 John. 1 John. We were there earlier. I'm going to go back one more time here. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 6. 1 John chapter 2. And listen to how basic and simple this verse is. It says, "He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked." There's another way there. Another scripture that tells us plainly how we should walk. Just walk as Jesus walked. Follow His example and do what He did here on this earth. Are you walking as Jesus walked? If we're walking as Jesus walked, then we're spreading that sweet-smelling aroma. And you know what we're like? We're like ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. We're representing Christ in the way that we live each and every day. Wherever we go and whoever we see, whoever we talk to, whether it's a Christian or one that's in the world, or whether it's a Christian that's struggling, or whether it's our family, whoever it might be, we're walking as Christians should walk. Go with me one final scripture tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So that's how I'm going to close the lesson tonight, asking that question. Are you an ambassador for Him? Standing here in this pulpit tonight, I am an ambassador for Christ. Even though I'm a sinner and I do fail often, I have forgiveness of my sins because I'm trying to walk in the light, walking in the truth, walking in love, not walking in the flesh, not walking in the ways that the world walks, but being an ambassador for Him. Where are you tonight in your walk as a Christian? You may just be starting out. You may not have started at all. Where are you walking? I ask you to be reconciled with God tonight as we close our lesson. If you've never obeyed God's Word, I hope you'll consider God's Word and what you must do. That you will obey it. Obey His Word. And we know what the Word says. And I already read it some tonight. You've got to understand the Word and believe it and obey it. Repent of your sins and confess His name and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Perhaps you've already done that. And perhaps you're one that needs to be reconciled to God tonight. I hope you'll consider the words that we've studied tonight and how we should walk and walk down the aisle so that we might serve you. Come now as we stand and as we sing.